Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey folks, it's Matt Zachary, and welcome to Vax On, a weekly segment of my podcast, Out of Patience, right here on the Offscript Network.
Hey, I'm Allura Nanos. I'm a lawyer, a journalist, a mom of a teenage narcoleptic, and a professional big mouth.
Lou and I go back 30 years as best friends, and we're here to have fun and bring you a layperson's guide to what the hell just happened this week in healthcare as America gets its vax on and shows COVID the door.
We're here together to learn, complain, and include you in the conversation.
So join us on Twitter at VaxOnPod and share your stories and grievances using the hashtag VaxOn.
All right, Matt, let's get at it.
And we're back. Vax On.
Hi, Matt.
Allura here in the house.
I'm here. And you know what? A lot has happened since I've been here.
Well, we had to skip a week.
Yes.
We ran a great episode, though. We hope our listeners enjoyed rehearing or maybe for the first time hearing our epic show with Ms. Information.
It was pretty amazing.
There's still a lot of Ms. Information out there.
There is.
And they just allowed, like, I think the fourth vaccine boost thing from Pfizer is now approved by the FDA.
Shots for everybody.
And BB-8 is taking over the world.
Yes. Since last we left off, since the last time I was in the studio, I have had two orthopedic surgeries, a root canal, and my son is enrolled in college. How's that for an update?
I'm going to leave now. I'll see myself out. That was fantastic.
I said I had a foot surgery, then I had an elbow surgery, then I had a root canal, and here I am, and I've lived to tell the tale.
Are you made of Lego?
Can they
just like replace this part here? And
what I'm made of is tapped out medical insurance.
Oh, dear God.
My insurance is like, excuse me, are you okay?
I think this is a healthcare show.
You know what? What's sort of funny to me? You know, I don't know if you get those phone calls like through my husband's job. I get these phone calls that are like, hey, do you want to do health coaching? And they call me and bug me all the time. And I sort of feel like, you guys, I've had like a million medical issues in the last 2 weeks. Maybe now you should call me and see if I'm all right. Like, this might be a good time, you know. But no, it doesn't, like, whatever those algorithms are, they haven't lined up.
My only issue is that my son still wants to wear his mask in school, which I respect and no one else does. But he's getting a little shit from his friends.
Yeah. We told our kids tried to do that. They were like, I think I'm just going to wear it. I'm like, you know, sometimes you should just take your cues from the people around you.
I mean, I respect him. He's nervous. It makes sense. We want to own that as a dad and a parent. But yeah, like all of his friends aren't wearing it. And even his sister is like, why are you wearing this? He's like, I want to wear it. So,
okay.
I mean, I'm glad they don't have to anymore, but he feels compelled to do that. Sure. And,
you know,
I mean,
wear the mask.
Wear it. Fine. His breath stinks anyway.
Yeah.
Can you help my son learn to brush his teeth?
I have to tell you, one of the things I love about masking is that it makes me not have to deal with other people's bad breath because I am very odor averse.
Okay.
But, right? Like, so I can't deal with bad smells on any level, and I definitely can't deal with people's bad breath. So I have like been in a reprieve from this for 2 years.
Wait, is Certz still in business?
Certz.
Remember Certz?
Do I remember Certz? Like, come on. With the little dots in them?
Yeah,
they were
yeah.
so great. I
can't. Peppermint Certz.
Do you know,
they were like little like life rafts with
yes,
the blue in the middle.
But also, like, I didn't realize that they were gone until just this moment.
Oh, really?
No, I did not. I have not thought about them.
Poor Certz. Rip Certz. Not a sponsor. Although we take them as a sponsor.
I would be so happy to.
Certz came back.
I could easily be paid in Certz. Like, they could just give me giant Rubbermaid container full
of Certz.
They were
way more pepperminty than the Lifesavers mints. They
yes.
were really good.
And then every once in a while, they'd hit you with like the weird rainbow tutti frutti ones.
Yeah,
and you're
I know,
like, the
I know.
Fuck is this?
Like fruit stripe gum.
No, like stop that. Like, I don't understand. Who authorizes that shit? Anyway, the FDA maybe, teaser, we're going to talk about that later.
The FDA?
Yeah.
That's sexy stuff.
I know, it is. And cattle.
We're back to cattle?
I'm going to tell you about some cattle.
Okay.
Okay, I promise. I'm going to need to preface this episode. There are several WTF moments coming during this episode where, as I'm looking at these very interesting stories, I'm reading the details and I get to the details and I'm like, what the fuck is that? And how did that happen?
Right.
So I'm just going to, it's a disclaimer up front. These moments will happen.
Live reaction.
So I'm just letting you know.
Not Oscars moment, but that's coming.
You're going to get annoyed, though. You're going to get annoyed today. Okay. During the show. So let me put that out there.
But we're starting with some levity, I understand.
Well, you know, we were.
Oh, now we're not?
Yeah. Well,
you're changing the script on me right now.
I am right in front of you. So I had planned the segment today about how comedy brings us together as a people. And one of the things truly that I love in the world, in the 2022 world, is that as all of us experience certain things all at the same time, we also experience the comedy that goes with those things.
Like so, seeing the bottom of people's faces and getting to know what they look like.
Right. Like everyone wore masks. We all had mask memes and mask jokes. And I love that because I really feel like comedy is a way to bond. And you can look at things like memes and tweets and stuff like that to kind of get the pulse on exactly where we're going. And through the pandemic, you know, it started with everybody kind of making fun of social distancing. Then it went to making fun of masking. Then it went to making fun of COVID regulations and vaccines and then boosters. And, you know, you see the kind of the comedy go in line with whatever's happening. And truthfully, I really appreciate that. And I think it's part of what we do as a society and a culture to heal from
anthropology has told through memes.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, comedy,
the new hieroglyphics.
Absolutely. And laughing is important. So that was what I was going to talk about, but I'm not going to talk about that.
Okay, record scratch.
Right. Because if the theme was comedy brings us together, it seems that the rules on that have changed in the last 48 hours.
Apparently, yeah.
At least from Chris Rock's point of view, comedy doesn't so much bring us together as it does get you smacked in the face.
I mean, Ricky Gervais is laughing his ass off right now.
His ass right off.
See, David Letterman even put a statement out?
No, I did not.
That the Uma Oprah had got nothing on this?
The Uma Oprah?
That was the famous David Letterman, the one time he hosted the Oscars and he made fun of Uma Thurman and Oprah Winfrey by making fun of their names together.
He did?
Google it. Uma, Oprah. Oprah, Uma.
David Letterman said this?
Letterman did this, yeah.
When was this? Like 1,000 years
this
ago?
This was in like the 2000s, yeah.
I totally missed this.
It was the best use of David Letterman. And like, again, in the annals of like the Academy Awards history, that was a moment.
Oh, I'm sure. I have to tell you, the person that I'm most sad for about this whole Oscar mess is Amy Schumer, because she was a spectacular Oscar.
Oh, she did a great job.
She was so funny.
I love her.
And I generally love her, but a lot of times, even comedians who are very funny are not good hosting award shows. Mm-hmm. And she was really funny.
Yeah.
And I feel like everyone sort of just forgot because it got so weird and awkward.
I feel bad for Questlove.
Yeah, feel bad for Questlove.
I mean, man won right after the shit happened.
And I was watching the television trying to listen to his speech, and I could not listen to it. I couldn't process it. I was listening, but I couldn't process it because I was so distracted. And I felt like every single person in that room is 10 times more distracted than I am right now. And like, everyone is pretending to listen and no one's really processing what he's saying.
My favorite part of all of this is it's gotten like in the Twilight movies, it was like team this and team that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's everything's team Will or team Chris now. But it's real.
I mean, okay.
There's a whole like cancer thing going on now. We're like, bald, get over it, right? We're so used to getting made fun of for being bald for having cancer.
I thought I would wrap this up with just asking you, like, do you have any favorite COVID jokes that have really stuck with you?
Well, I mean, just to go back to the way that I'm seeing this split on social media is endemic of what we saw for the pandemic on social media.
Like, that's
half
true.
The country is pro this and half the country is pro that for all their own internal reasons.
You literally could come up with any topic and you would get people split half and half. And I actually, the Oscars is like exactly an example of that. Like, you would think, here's the hypo. Someone gets up and punches somebody else in the face for telling a joke. You'd think everyone would think it's bad, but of course they don't.
No.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, and I think that no matter what people's opinion about, you know, name the issue is, you will see that. You'll see the jokes both ways. And I'm always here for good comedy, regardless of how the comedy is slanted.
And of course, like having to quantify, you know, we're aware that 900,000 people in this country died of COVID, but here's some jokes anyway.
Yeah.
That's just how you have to deal with it.
whenever I've spoken to people who deal with difficult circumstances, tragedy, illness, anything like that, I mean, the thing that we all hear over and over is, how'd you get through it? Well, laughing was really important.
Right.
And I think that in and of itself is an important point. Laughing is an important part of the human condition. It bonds us together. It helps us stay strong. So, you know, to the extent that we can be funny and use comedy, we all should.
I mean, Stupid Cancer, when it launched, was very edgy in its time, borrowing from other people who were trying to be edgy beforehand, which was not something you did in cancer.
Right.
We sold T-shirts that said, "Ovaries are for losers." Who needs nipples anyway? Bald is the new black. We were very snarky, and some of them were even more edgy than that, and it worked. If you didn't like it, I guess you didn't buy the shirts, but it was a badge of honor to lean into the inanity of ridiculousness that this is. I'm going to lean again as the white guy chiming in, the bald white guy chiming in here, the bald black cancer white guy chiming in here.
Do you know that we just did this entire segment without me actually realizing, like, you're bald? I should ask you.
I'm not bald by choice. Honestly, I was made bald when I was like 21 years old. My beautiful Jufro was gone. And I was really ashamed of having no hair. I can totally understand as a man, not as a woman. It's very different when you're bald as a woman. Totally recognizing that. We were through that in the looking glass. Not even through it. In the looking glass of Stupid Cancer for so many years. These young women in their vibrant
really
times of
deal.
Life.
Yeah.
It's a really big deal. But the humor of it, you know, had to get us through in some way.
Sure.
And again, for anyone looking to become outraged for no reason on this show, which I doubt there are anywhere, we're pretty Gen X chill here on outrage culture. But yeah, I take the joke.
Yeah.
That's
make the joke, take
the
joke.
Deal with it.
And I think actually that's important. Make a joke. Strive to make jokes, because in making jokes, you will not only do yourself and the people around you a service, but you'll also sort of realize that sometimes people just say things to be funny and it doesn't mean any more than that.
Right.
Which I think is always a good lesson.
So again, just like typical dad joke, bad coronavirus dad jokes, or Chuck Norris got COVID and now the virus is in quarantine for 2 weeks.
Oh, because he's like a tough guy.
Chuck Norris.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
So the world's turned upside down because now old folks are sneaking out of the house at night while their kids are yelling at them to stay inside.
I like that one. I also like this one. Like, if you need 144 rolls of toilet paper for a month-long quarantine, you should probably see a doctor, not about COVID-19.
Yeah, there's definitely some issues going on inside your body if you need Charmin Ultra Rolls or whatever.
Did you see any of, like, the best memes and parodies from COVID? My favorite is the Chicago Cell Block Tango. The work from home cell block tango. That was one of my very favorites. But there's some good ones.
The South Park COVID episodes are just historically amazing.
I love it. See, comic genius at work.
You gotta lean in, embrace the humor.
Leaning.
And it's okay to be I mean, come on. Mel Brooks did Hitler.
Right.
Can we get any more obvious on what you could be offended by when Mel Brooks did Hitler?
Like, listen, I am only offended if the jokes aren't funny.
Right.
But anyway, listen, it's time to move on to the next segment, because I will say this, the first segment is over, which means that we're now done with anything funny and we're on to things that are so fucked up you can't even believe they're happening.
So engage rage.
Engage rage. Ready?
Okay.
Fire up your rageometer.
Okay.
Okay. Did you know that all this time during COVID, the FDA shut down its facility inspections?
Of everything it's supposed to inspect?
Yes. Now, it didn't shut them down completely, but it's doing like half of what it's supposed to be doing.
Okay, that sounds not good.
It's not good. It's really, really not good.
So the Food and Drug Administration isn't Food and Drug Administrating.
Exactly. So can we talk some specifics? Because this is one of those things that, like, where are the conspiracy theorists on this shit?
Okay.
Right? So the whole point of the FDA inspections are to check that drugs are contaminant-free and that there are no device flaws going on in making the drugs.
That they work.
And that the food supply is sanitary.
Yeah.
Like really important safety stuff.
But there's
stuff.
More than just drugs. There's, like, diagnostics. There's medication.
Yeah, there's, like, all kinds of stuff. There's
like
medical
skin
devices.
There's lotions. There's hair products.
Yeah,
anything FDA approved or cleared.
Right, like, remember Batman. Remember the 1989
yes.
Batman. That's what we're talking about. Like,
right.
Everything, right? And so typically the FDA inspects about 12,500 facilities each year. And in 2021, Which, by the way, 2021 is when we got the vaccine. So, like, people were out there still doing work in 2021.
Yeah.
Only 6,100. So about half were inspected, which is really scary to me. And we also inspect some foreign stuff, like, you know, overseas stuff that make American products. That was even worse. Normally, they inspect about 3,000 a year. And in 2021, they only inspected 167.
I can do math now.
Yeah. Like, is that, wait, hold on. But the details get even worse. Listen to this. In recent months, the inspections that actually have been done have brought up some alarming problems, such as a Family Dollar distribution facility in Arkansas. They found live and dead rodents in various states of decay.
Oh, there's got to be some nutritional value there. Let's look at the bright side.
Like, what is happening? Also, FDA inspectors have been probing Abbott Nutrition's baby formula manufacturing facility in Michigan because they found Sakazaki bacteria.
Who?
I don't know what Sakazaki is, but I love that word.
That's the best, worst word ever.
Right. It's the best, worst word ever. But like,
Sakazaki?
Holy shit. Like
tzatziki sauce.
Right, it's like tzatziki. It's cucumber dill flavored baby formula. Hold on now. So this means that the FDA, they're deciding, okay, we're going to do half the inspections, right? The half that went out didn't go to the baby formula place?
Right, the one
Where
place you should...
Where did they go? What were they inspecting? Nail polish remover?
Yeah.
Like, what? Where
the priorities of things that can kill people.
Like,
babies.
Who is in charge of this shit? Like, I can't. Like, my head is exploding as I'm reading this.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like, it's really bad. And the FDA said that mission critical inspections have never ceased. Really? The baby formula is not mission critical?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you know this, guys, but like, babies, all they fucking eat is baby formula. They don't have anything else. It's 100% of their diet.
Maybe there's like an Ebola factory that they did go to, thankfully.
Oh, my God.
Maybe Ebola's mission critical.
Like, I'm really, really disturbed by this. And I understand that during the pandemic, everything shut down. Like, I get it.
Right.
But the thing is, everything from Trader Joe's to H&M to you name it, figured out a way to get back up and running pretty early into 2021. Right. I realize that places were not completely up to speed. I get it. But like, things like food and drug inspections should be very high on the list.
All right, I have next week's show already planned in my head.
What is it?
Forget the FDA. I want the USDA. I want to know how many meat factories they didn't inspect.
So funny you should bring that up. It's like you read my mind.
Really?
Yeah, really. I was actually going to bring up the USDA.
This is completely off script.
Yeah, no, I know. I didn't even tell you about this. So this whole thing about the FDA inspections and the overseas inspections tweaked my mind. And I wanted to let you know about this USDA case that's been happening. There is a major federal lawsuit going on because the USDA, apparently, they have standards to certify like when meat is a product of the United States versus a product from elsewhere. And there's this whole lawsuit going on with cattle that are raised overseas, brought on a barge. They come into the U.S. for 5 minutes. They're killed 5 minutes after they get here. And then they're packaged as a product of the United States. And there's like a huge controversy.
Wait, there's cowboats?
There's cowboats. Yeah. Cowboats.
I'm all in. I want to be on a cowboat.
But I mean, so this whole issue of inspection.
Did they just dump the shit off in the ocean?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't even want to know about the cowboats because I'm sure
it's
like completely
quality
terrible.
Ocean pollution, waste pollution.
But it's like all these federal regulatory agencies are in charge of inspecting shit. And it's stuff that's really important. And by the way, this thing with the cows is stuff that is being inspected. And the USDA is following its rules. And they're still coming up. They're still coming up with this totally fucked result, which is that they have cows that were born in Brazil, raised in Brazil. They come here. They stand in Michigan for 5 seconds and then they get killed. And they're saying, oh, yeah, that's an American cow, which is weird to me. I don't know why I wanted to bring that up.
But that's called artisan beef.
Yes, exactly. They're like, it's like immigrant beef. And I don't know enough about the beef industry to know how much that matters, like whether it, you know, what the standards are overseas. But the idea of inspecting what we eat and what we use for medicine and what kind of, you know, products we use is really important because God only knows what's happening to this shit elsewhere. So, yeah, the FDA, like, get your act together. I understand that you're probably, I don't know, doing the best that you can, but can't you shut something else down that's like less important or hire extra people or something?
Let's cut to break with one more joke.
Okay.
Because we got to go back to humor.
All right.
What was the average weather during the pandemic?
The average weather.
room temperature.
Oh, that's such a terrible joke.
And we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Matt, we're back.
We are.
Yeah, time for the you know what?
Sir moment.
Sir moment. And guess what?
By Menon.
At Costanza. And I thought it would be fun to check in on, like, hey, what's happening with those antiviral pills we heard so much about?
Remember that? Right. That's right. Yeah.
I always forget about them.
For people that went to the hospital that may not need to be intubated, they get the antiviral pill in the hospital, right?
Yeah. And in the future, they probably wouldn't even need to go to the hospital, because I know that, like, for example, I've gotten shingles. And if you catch it early enough, you go to the regular doctor and they give you an antiviral pill, and it doesn't make it go away, but it makes it go away faster.
By Valtrex. Yeah. Thank you, Valtrex. Not a sponsor.
Well, and also, first of all, I'm glad you brought up Valtrex, because here's the thing. That is a terrible name for a drug.
Yes.
Can I just say that? It's a great drug. It's a terrible name.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. It sounds awful. It sounds like a disease. Like, it doesn't sound like it's like something that would be soothing and make you feel better. It literally sounds like something that would make you feel worse.
I got the Valtrex.
That's what it sounds like. But until I read the name for this medication, and I need to know who the ad wizards are that came up with this. The name of the antiviral COVID treatment is called Paxlovid.
Oh, God.
Are they kidding me?
That sounds like a Russian Greek wrestler.
Yes. Like, I think of like a big fat guy. Paxlovid. Pass the Paxlovid. Are they kidding me?
Like, if the Iron Sheik, the wrestler from the 80s, might have been a little sweatier and more Greek than Iranian, that's his name.
Pass the Paxlovid.
Yes.
Like, I just... Really? Why can't they hire the Allegra people? That's a great name. That's a great name for a drug.
Lunestra.
Lunestra, right? Yeah, I love that. Like, yeah. All of those, like, some of them are really good.
Right.
They sound exactly, like, even Viagra, like, that sounds exactly like,
you know. Opdivo. It's, like, they sound great.
They do. Like, Viagra feels like onomatopoeia almost.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I know exactly what it is, yes. As soon as you tell me what
it's
right.
It's good, yeah.
But, like, holy shit, Paxlovid? Okay, anyway, so...
On tomorrow's episode of Who Names This Shit?
I need to know who names it. Anyway, we thought we'd ask doctors about this antiviral pill. Just to see, like, hey, what's going on with it? We first asked, hey, have you guys prescribed this to, like, any of your patients? And 76% said no. Now, again, maybe they're podiatrists. That's why.
Yeah, they are 1.3 million doctors of many, many different practices.
Right. So, like, it's possible that they just don't work in infectious disease or general practice medicine.
We just start asking podiatry questions.
Yeah, but we did ask, does your practice have access to it? So even if they were podiatrists, theoretically, I think they would have access to it if it had some kind of foot indication. It could have. Listen, I had foot surgery. I've had podiatry on the mind.
Yes.
And 69% of the doctors said, no, our practice does not have access to it.
Interesting.
So, I mean, I guess it's just not all that available yet. We asked, in your professional opinion, do you think this pill has the potential to reduce the severity of the pandemic? And 83% said, yes, it will.
Well, that's good.
It's very good. And of the people who have prescribed it, right? So 24% said that, yeah, they have prescribed it. Of those people, most of them saw an improvement over the course of the treatment. Only 4% said that they saw no improvement after prescribing it.
But I mean, if 24% plus 4% is 100%, you're looking at 95% of the doctors who, quick math, maybe yeah. not accurate.
That was impressive.
But you're looking at like 9 out of 10 of the doctors who prescribed this saw an improvement.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really promising. I don't know what's holding it up. Probably the FDA is holding it up. I don't know.
It's all the meat inspections.
Yeah. They're like, wait, we're not expecting the baby formula. So, you know. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like this is a good thing. I'm sure it will come around eventually.
I also hope it takes a nice role in the developing nations management of COVID-19. Because the vaccines are few and far between there. Maybe we should talk about this next time. The idea of taking an antiviral pill versus being subjected to the freedom and vaccines,
I was just going to ask you about,
might be more adoptable by people who are terrified of the government taking your freedoms.
I wonder if it will become controversial. My sense is that it will not become controversial.
Way less controversial, in my opinion.
Because it's a treatment, right? And also, no one will mandate, you know, you can't come to a theater until you have an antiviral pill. It doesn't. It just won't work. That's not really the way that stuff works.
Yeah, bring all your herpes without your Valtrex.
Right. But I mean, I wonder that when people are, you know, keeping in mind also, people who are going to take the antiviral medication are going to be people who have the illness.
Right.
And sometimes that just changes your mind about things, right? Once you get sick, you just want to be done with it as soon as possible. And it just doesn't have that same sort of feeling as standing in line and getting a vaccine card and when you're feeling perfectly healthy.
Right.
So I expect to see that the antiviral pills are going to be an important part of combating the pandemic. And, you know, and I hope that this Paxlovid gets to market.
Gesundheit.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds too much like Pavlovian. I think that's what it is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I feel like I'm expecting a bell and some salivation with it.
You know, it also sounds like an Eastern European country during World War I.
Yes.
I come from Paxlovia. Next to Transylvania.
It would be great, though, if they were like, here's your Paxlovid. You take it as soon as the bell rings and you start to salivate.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Thank you, Madison Avenue.
They need to ask me these things. Where is Don Draper when you need him?
Yes.
So that's the end of that. Okay, so I have another thing that's going to piss you off.
More.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
I'm annoyed by it. And it's about freaking COVID testing.
Okay, well, we like COVID testing.
I love COVID testing. COVID testing is the greatest thing ever because, granted, I know people aren't dying as much from COVID anymore, but it's really important to know if you have it because it's so highly transmissible.
Right.
And like, hey, what a spectacular tool to combat it from home testing. You could just put the thing up your nose. It's no big deal. You find out in 10 minutes if you have COVID. And if you do, you stay home. It's great.
Right.
So, but the tests are still difficult to come by. Okay.
Like the supply chain of the tests?
Yeah. It's not as easy as it should be.
But did the government mail you your 4 tests?
Yes. The government mailed me my 4. Also, New Jersey mailed me 2 that you have to do a freaking Zoom call.
What?
During it, they have to watch you put the thing up your nose. It's like the most ridiculous thing ever.
Thank you, Phil Murphy.
Yeah, I was like, this is the most complicated COVID test ever. So I COVID test every week because I'm in an orchestra and we all play together.
Yeah, yeah.
So we all test every week. So I am like on the front lines of buying and taking COVID tests. I've taken every single
your
brand.
Your nose is like, bring it on today.
And the thing is, they're so different. The different brands are so different in terms of like their packaging and their procedures. Some of them are really user-friendly and some of them are like, you figure it out.
But this is a situation, just to break in here for a second, where there should be some continuity across all the different brands of COVID tests.
Yeah, why can't they talk to each other?
Right.
Why are some of them 9 minutes and some of them are 15 minutes and some of them, like, you have to upload a picture and some of them you don't? Also, can I just say this? The people that make the tests really piss me off with this. So all of the tests have, like, the little pregnancy test kind of cartridge
and you
put the drops in, right?
Yeah.
Every single one of them has one line that says C and one line that says T. And for every one of them, the line that says C does not mean COVID.
Right.
The line that says C means control. Are you fucking kidding me?
Right. Because these are made by nerds in labs, not for people.
I don't understand. Why can't they just put the word that says control?
Right.
And the other word, what, if you print it and it says COVID, like what? If you're going to put a letter, don't pick C.
Right.
Literally pick any letter other than C. It makes me irate. It's so right. ridiculous.
This is not an economy where you want competition amongst home COVID tests. You want them to all be the same so everyone can do it the same and there's no confusion
right.
between this versus that versus this. It's not like Toyota versus Lexus versus Honda.
Right, like no one cares that you just get the ones that are on the shelf. You don't give a shit which ones they are.
Right.
So they should all be the same.
Ooh, it's the this brand of home COVID test. Right. I can't wait to buy that one. 5-star rating right. on
but
Yelp.
On Yelp. But in addition to that, though, the companies making the COVID tests are apparently destroying them.
Why?
Because they went past their expiration date. Okay, so.
Okay, I get that.
No, stay
like
with
bananas?
Stay with me on the fuckery, because it's not like bananas. Ready?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you this little story here. So Abbott, they make, they're like.
Abbott Labs.
Abbott Labs. They're like, they're the ones, the same Abbott Labs with the baby food, with,
right,
the,
right.
with the baby formula.
Lovely.
I know, right? So they had test kits in their inventory, right, to supply the demand. And when those tests reached their 7-month shelf life, they disposed of them.
Okay.
Okay.
Which, I'm okay with that.
No, so far, so good, right?
Yeah,
except
yeah.
that it's annoying because now they're not there. But okay, they expired. Except they got FDA approval to extend the expiration date to 12 months. I'm going to let that settle with you for
a second.
I'm
silent.
Isn't the entire concept of a shelf life that it doesn't work anymore?
Right.
So like, you know, you get the milk and it says that it expires next week. You can't just be like, oh, but we extended it. If you can extend
Mommy,
it.
Mommy, this milk tastes funny. No, it's okay. It hasn't passed the expiration date yet.
What are you talking about? Like if it was something that could be extended by 5 more months.
Like a car warranty.
Right. It's not a car warranty. It either is or it is not the shelf life.
Right.
The whole concept of a shelf life is that the thing doesn't work past that.
It's like when you find the Xanax in your medicine cabinet, but it's like, it expired in 2002. You're like, yeah, take it anyway. Does it work?
It's not going to hurt you. Usually it works anyway. But like, I don't understand. So they got approval to extend it for 12 months because of I don't know what, right? But they decided to destroy them anyway. Why did they ask for the approval, by the way? Like, none of this makes any sense.
They could have given them to all the cows in the boats.
They could have. I'm so irritated by this. And then as a result, there's still a shortage, right? Because you got the manufacturer making them and then destroying them, getting extensions, but not needing the extensions. And at the end of the day, I still have to go to 15 different drugstores to get them from my damn orchestra.
We have a solution.
Please
put
tell me.
Put all the COVID tests in a Tetra Pak.
A what?
A Tetra Pak.
What's a Tetra Pak?
Like the Parmalat milk.
Oh.
They never go bad.
What happened to Parmalat?
Is it still there.
It is?
Yeah.
It scares me.
Parmalat milk just sits there for years. It's great. Like, you can just put it in the fridge and drink it. I mean, once you open it, you got like a week.
Yeah.
But like, it can just live.
Sure it can.
It's like,
is anybody inspecting that lab?
The Parmalat lab.
Another terrible name for a product.
Or like even the coconut waters in Tetra Paks. Like they last forever.
That's the name of it? Tetra Pak?
A Tetra Pak, yeah.
Where do you get this language from? Who tells you this stuff?
The people that made the drug, the Valtrex drug.
The
Pavlovia, whatever it's called. Transylvania.
So, I mean, basically, so what's happening here, right, is that Abbott Labs, it's like they made all the tests that they could make. Then they got rid of them because they had too many. Then they fired people because they thought we didn't need the tests anymore. Now they're back to needing to hire a bunch of people because now, even though the pandemic is receding a bit, more people are testing because it's supposed to be easy to test large groups of people. So now like schools are testing and stuff like that.
By the way, disclosure, Abbott Labs, not owned by Greg Abbott.
Thanks, that's helpful.
I just had to put that in there.
Governor
I know
Greg.
The listeners were very confused.
Governor Greg Abbott, not a sponsor. definitely not
a sponsor.
No.
For sure, no.
So,
for
like,
sure, no.
The whole situation with testing is a shit show right now.
Right.
And it's like, I honestly cannot believe that we still haven't figured this out. What I would have expected is that where we are with the testing is where we were with the fidget spinners, which is like fidget spinners came onto the scene, everybody wanted them, and in 10 days, they were literally everywhere. You could not avoid them.
Right.
And then people bought them, and then eventually it was like nobody really cared about them, so you would find them in the discount racks and they would just be extra everywhere.
And now,
like,
it's Poppets.
Right now it's Poppets, right? And they're everywhere, and then soon we won't need them anymore and they'll be in the dollar store.
Right.
So like, that's sort of what I expected with the COVID test, that there was a big rush to kind of hurry up and meet the demand. And now they would just be everywhere. And no matter how many you needed, they would be very easy to find. And more people are using them. But it seems like the companies making them are trying to like stay ahead of whatever the trend is.
Right.
So that they don't employ people needlessly or whatever.
Well, you never know. The BB-8 wave is coming over here to the U.S. now.
Oh, no.
B2A, I'm calling it BB-8, whatever it is.
Oh, I love BB-8.
Sponsored by Lucasfilm.
Sure it is.
Why not? Yeah, you're right. It's a moving target to know where supply and demand are going to live.
But I feel
like
just stop. Just stop it. Just make the test. We'll let you know when we don't need it anymore. Until you hear otherwise,
or
just
ship
make
them where
the
they
test.
Are needed.
Like, just make them. Someone will need them. Just
right.
Don't worry about it, okay? Like, it's not up to you to predict the market trends. Just make the fucking tests. Someone will buy them. And don't worry about it, because I don't want to go into the store and I need 30 COVID tests and I can't get them.
Right. It's like Wayne Gretzky's skate where the puck's gonna be.
Also, can I just say this? If we have the technology to take the little tube that you put the solution in and make a little perforated hole in the box so that you could stand it up, why are we not just doing that all the time?
Because agencies, packaging services.
I'm just saying, you gotta be able to stand the thing up. If you can't stand it up, it's gonna make a mess.
All right. This message not approved by device manufacturers.
I mean, they have to do is just ask me. That's all I'm asking. Just ask me. I'll tell you what you need to do.
Elura. What a great show. We went from dad jokes to
cows.
Cow boats.
to rats.
To rats and cockroaches, to baby formula factory manure, to also, this has been a great show.
It has been.
Maybe one of our best.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's why I'm here in person.
The rage sine curve is doing very well today.
Listen, you're going to have to take this and you're going to have to keep it with you for the next 2 weeks, because I will not be here next week. I will be on vacation.
Yes.
And I will be on a much needed vacation.
After your 11 surgeries.
After my 11 surgeries. And what I'm hoping is that I do not get stuck overseas with COVID.
Because, nice knowing you.
Yes. So I filled out all my forms and I'm ready to go away and come back COVID free.
Well, with that said, bon voyage, Godspeed. And happy COVID testing.
Paxlovid.
Paxlovid.
Make up a jingle for that next time, will you?
All right, next time. Who are the Edwards? All right, folks. See you next week.
Bye, Matt.
That's all for now. If you like Facts On, be sure to subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, follow us on social, and tell all your friends to listen. Tell us your shit show of a healthcare story by leaving a message for us at 855-AUDIO-66, and we might just use it in a future show. Vax On is a product of Offscript Health. We are a healthcare engagement company built for patients and caregivers by patients and caregivers. Our executive producers are Matthew Zachary and Andrew McDowell. Our senior producer is Brianna Seely. Our hosts are Matthew Zachary and Allura Nanos. It is recorded, mixed, and edited by Brianna Seely. For advertising and media inquiries, email media@offscript.com. That's media@offscript.com. For more information, visit offscript.com.